Good morning, computer world! Hey, it's Scott Hanke here to give you some great computer information. You know, if you haven't listened to our show before, we are one of the biggest computer repair companies in Denver, Colorado. I've been doing this for 33 years. 33 years. That's one-third of a century. Yeah, when I started with computers, we didn't even have mice. I remember a couple years after I started, we went to a computer store and saw some mice being demonstrated. It was awesome. Then invented the hard drive and invented, what else did we invent? Floppy disks and stuff like that. Anyway, a lot of good information for you. This is also a show where you could email in and ask me your own personal questions, and we will email you back for sure. And if possibly interesting or stupid enough, we will read that question on the air to a live audience. And we will not mention your name, so you could ask whatever your question you want. And we almost promise not to laugh at you very hard while we're on the air. So anyway, you know, we've got a lot of things to talk about today, but we're going to start out with some internet statistics. We're going to go use the Wayback Machine and take us way back to 2012. That was 2 years ago, year and a half, 2 years ago. And we're going to look at some statistics for the internet way back then. And then we're going to use the Wayback Machine and go back 10 more years before that to the year 2002 to compare some things. You know, if we could turn back time, Okay, but I digress. If I could turn back time, we're going to compare a lot of things because right now it's 2014, and if we keep going this direction, we're going to be in a big difference in 10 more years, right? But let's look at the big differences between the last 10-year gap between 2002 and 2012. Well, back then, internet users in 2002 were only 9% of the population. That's right, 9% of the population were able to get on the internet because, well, honestly, most people didn't know what the internet was. They still had dial-up. They had, and some people still have dial-up. Please don't introduce me to those people. But 569 million people were on the internet in 2002. You know, sounds like a big number, right? 569 million. In 2012, it was 2.27 billion. So that is like 500 times of what it was in 22. So it grew quite a bit. The average internet usage back in 2002 was only 46 minutes a day, which was quite a bit for back then. I mean, you know, that's almost like a whole television show, right? And most people didn't spend that long on the internet. But, you know, with dial-up speeds, you couldn't get to too many pages in 46 minutes a day. That's only about, what's the average time for loading a web page? We'll find out here in a second. But that's not browsing the internet too much. You know, there wasn't too many websites actually to do back in 2002. I was teaching computer classes back then in a community center. And I remembered some of the sites that we had were MapQuest and Yahoo and someplace called WebCrawler. There was no such thing, well, I don't know if there was or not, about Google, but I didn't know anything about it. And we went to the local news station, and we went to Toyota.com because they were on the internet, and we can look at cars from Toyota.com. Didn't even have very many websites to go to. But back in 2002, the website usage was about 46 minutes a day. In 2012, 10 years later, it was 4 hours a day. 4 hours a day. And it's a little bit more than that right now. I don't have the statistics here, but probably about 5 hours a day, right? Sit in front of the boob tube, which is no longer the television, but your computer, for about 4 hours a day. And that would include things such as your cell phone, right, your tablet, and your computer at work, and your computer at home. And maybe you watch online video like Hulu or Netflix. Well, you're adding that into there too. So 4 hours a day, the average internet use. The total number of websites, which was out in 2002, was 3 million. 2012 was about 555 million. I think that's even a conservative estimate. I think it's a lot more than that. You know, web browsers. Back then in 2002, there was, I think there was two web browsers. There was Internet Explorer and Netscape. And Netscape was this underdog. And they came out of nowhere and they said, hey, we're going to make a better browser than Internet Explorer. But Internet Explorer had 95% of the web browser market. And that other 5% was stuff like Netscape and other programs. I don't remember what they are. But in 2012, Internet Explorer, thank goodness, was only 39% of the web browsing population. And 28% is Chrome. 25% is Firefox. Now, Netscape rebranded itself or got bought out or something, and they became Firefox. So good job. Good job, Firefox. And then there's some other ones called Opera. There's one called Dolphin. There's some weird ones. But anyway, you can see the difference there between the Internet Explorer and the other underdogs that started to come out. Okay, since we're here, we'll talk about, you know, what's the difference between one browser and the other. Well, Internet Explorer comes with your computer. So, of course, it is the most widely used one because it came with the computer and people don't know how to download other programs. But for those of us who do, we gladly go away from Internet Explorer to anything else other than Internet Explorer. Chrome is made by Google and it operates actually quite a bit faster than Internet Explorer does. Also has a lot less glitches. Sometimes you just won't be able to get to a page with Internet Explorer and we'll tell people, hey, just go to Chrome and you'll open it up just fine. So that's an option there. Firefox is, of course, made by Netscape, and that's another good trusted one too, and they are faster than Internet Explorer and less glitches. So unless you like to have hassles, I would choose something else other than Internet Explorer. Let's see, what's some of the other things that we got here? We've got the average time to load a web page. Well, back in 2002, it took 16 seconds to load an average web page. 16 seconds. You know, I can't tell if that was dial-up speed, it doesn't say here or not, but about 16 seconds to get your average web page. 2012, it's 6 seconds. And hopefully, if you have high-speed internet, it's even less than that. Of course, social networking came from out of nowhere. You know, back in 2002, they had a great thing called Friendster. That was the big thing back then, Friendster, and it had 3 million people. In 2012, of course, it's Facebook with over 900 million users on Facebook. Let's see. Some companies, you know, went out of business because they refused to go the internet route. Back in 2002, Blockbuster was offered to buy Netflix, and they didn't buy Netflix. Netflix only had 150 million customers or 150 million in revenue, and Blockbuster had 5.5 billion. So they said, oh, we don't need this Netflix. Now it's kind of the other way around. Netflix is 3.2 billion, and Blockbuster is bankrupt. So what does that tell you? Same thing with Borders Bookstore. You know, a lot of places now, Barnes & Noble, and what's another bookstore? I don't know how to read books. So another bookstore, Borders refused to make an online bookstore. We don't want to sell our books online. We're just going to use our brick-and-mortar stores. So they had stores back in 2002, but in 2012, they went bankrupt. Oh, here's a cool internet statistic for you. You know, a gigabyte is a amount of data. I don't even know how to say this. It's 1,000 million bytes. Long story short is that's a lot of information. And a gigabyte's about, how can I say this? It's about 200 CDs worth of information. Okay, quite a bit. And back in 1998, 1 gigabyte of data, if you wanted to buy a drive that was that big, it was $228 for that hard drive. Okay, nowadays you could buy a flash drive with 8 gigs for about $6. So you're looking at less than $1 a gig today. But you could just see the humongous way that things drop in price over time just because of the number of people buying things and the fact that technology is getting smaller and cheaper to mass produce. You know, pretty soon we're going to come up with a new term, not sure how soon, but it's called a petabyte, P-E-T-A-B-Y-T-E, not to be confused with pedophile. It's a petabyte, okay? And a petabyte is a lot of data. You could picture 20 million four-drawer filing cabinets, the large filing cabinets, 20 million of those with pieces of paper in it, filled with information would be about a petabyte of data. There's 1.5 petabytes of photos on Facebook. Okay, so quite a few photos there and data there. But someday you'll hear that word petabyte used more often. There's actually 20 petabytes of data processed by Google every day. As people search for things on Google and it's giving things out, that's 20 petabytes of data per day being given out. So you're going to start to hear that term sooner or later in society. You know, I guess we do have time for one of our listeners' questions right before we go to the break. One of them, this comes from a lady named Robin. Anyway, she said, hey, I've got Microsoft Office XP. Can I install that on my new Windows 7 computer? And honestly, I did not know the answer to this. I'm really not sure. I know that Office 2000 is not compatible. And whenever you say that, I mean, it could work, but it could glitch up later on. It could make your computer go slower. We installed an old version of WordPerfect for somebody on a Windows 7 computer, and it worked fine. But then he had a couple glitches with it starting up, and some WordPerfect startup items were automatically installed and stuff. So we didn't want to do that. So when we uninstalled it, it worked better. So even though it may work, it may not be the best thing for your computer. But I wanted to really find this question. And, you know, your best friend on the computer is Google. So just go to Google, and I typed in Microsoft Office XP and Windows 7. And I found some information from other people with the same question. And I actually had to look around a little bit because it's really hard to exactly tell what computer people are trying to say when you read it. But there was one individual that said, yes, Office XP works with Windows 7. Well, Office XP 2 came right before Office 2003. And 2003 for sure works, but I wasn't sure about XP, which is 2002. So there was a version called Office XP 2002, which came out for only 1 year. And it turns out that is compatible. You know, we've got a couple things we wanted to tell you about. You know, the best thing is to upgrade your Office, because you're not going to be able to open attachments from other people using your older version of Office. You kind of want the best and newest version of Office. It does get frustrating because all the menu bars change, and then now this is gone and they do it this way, and there's a thing called a ribbon instead of a pull-down menu. Kind of some aggravations. It does not help you to call Microsoft and complain, but you can try if you like. But there's no real hope for that. So, but there's a lot of ways around it. In fact, there are some ways to get Microsoft Office for free or an extremely reduced cost. Well, anyway, we're going to talk to you about that right after this break.